It's the news, according to me. Yeah. It's it's Tuesday, November 12th, 7:16 a.m. Music doesn't seem as loud today. I don't know why. Maybe it's my hearing. I don't know what's going on. 7:16 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, 1 week from the election, away from the election, beyond the election, on the other side of the election. They're still counting votes in California. Because the votes just keep coming in. You know, they just keep counting them. Anytime, because they've got to keep counting them until they get enough to win back the House. That's what they're trying to do. Well, I got a few things to get into this morning. We got a couple of things to play. We've got some things to play. Some audio clips. They call them audio clips. That's what they call them. Audio clips. Not the same as an eclipse. Just an audio clip. We'll get into this stuff. We have some interesting things that the left is continuing to trip over themselves. They are starting to get their feet on the ground. Their second wind. Their ability to they're continuing on with this whole thing of fascism. Scary orange man, bad thing. You know, the thing that got them so far ahead in the election. I think that's where they're really struggling right now is how they're supposed to do this, because they don't know for sure. They're trying to figure out what it was that turned people off so much. And I can tell you, obviously, people aren't buying this. They're not just not buying the whole orange man, bad fascist Nazi racism thing. They're just not buying it. And I think that that's the lesson here that they need to learn, is that just continuing with that rhetoric is not enough. When you just keep going with it, when it's, this is a guy that was president before, you see what they've done to the guy, you know, all the stuff that's happened. Probably some of the best things he did, Trump did during this campaign, was to go on things like Joe Rogan and just all the different podcasts that he went on. Because it humanized him, and people got to see the real guy. They just got to see who the guy is. Sit down and talk with somebody for 3 hours. You know, it's not the campaign rhetoric, it's not the campaign speech, it's just a guy talking. And Kamala, whatever her name is. We'll soon forget about her. Hopefully. Maybe. There's some other issues coming up here. That she could be the next president, folks. I'll just say that that way. And it's interesting. There's a guy named Joseph Z. He's kind of a prophetic type guy. He has a YouTube channel. Talks a lot about different things. Interested in prophecy and fulfillment, and he's got some interesting perspective and commentary. I met him in person. He's a pretty straightforward guy. Unfortunately, he's kind of from my tribe. He would be, his sense of humor and the way he kind of stuff he says is kind of, he uses, when he speaks, he uses a lot of movie references to lines. And, you know, movies from my era. So I kind of connect with that. He's probably about my age. I think I'm sure he's younger than I am. But I'm amazed sometimes at some of the speakers I hear out there that I'm looking at these guys and it's like, that guy looks old. And then they'll say something about how old they are and they're younger than me. What's going on here? What is happening? So come to listen to this old man speaking and he's younger than me. And what they say about me when I get up there. So I did, however, the other day, there was this guy that was up there speaking, and I thought he was younger than me. And last week, went to this conference in Chicago, and there's a guy that he was kind of a little bit, he looked a little bit California-ish. He actually has a place in a medical clinic type thing in Colorado. He's got the hair. He's got the whole thing going on. kind of looks a little bit like Owen Wilson a little bit. But he, thin guy, looks like he's in shape, looks, you know, very fit. To almost a fault, and he, and that he come to find out he's older than I am. He is in his upper 60s, and I was kind of shocked by that, actually. And when you get right up close to the guy, you can kind of tell, okay, he's, you know, I could kind of believe that, but it's it, he's in pretty good shape. Anyway, the because, I mean, yeah, anyway. Folks, believers are not necessarily, our whole society basically is not very fit. Hopefully the new administration is going to help us with some of that. We have, where was I going with all that? I know what it was. All this leads up to when everybody, what everybody wants to know, and that's what's in my cup. I have vanilla chai with my last drop. No, I shouldn't say that. My last extra drop of Almond Joy creamer. I still have about a third of a toilet, whatever the container is, the plastic thing, whatever you call it. I don't know. It's carafe. I don't know, plastic carafe or giraffe. I don't know what it is. Got a long neck. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I have the backup cup is kind of unusual today. I've got what I had left over of my apple cider. I dumped into about a third cup of Joe's peach tea. And I thought, I'll just throw it in there, see what it tastes like. I'll just drink it anyway. I'm just going to, you know. Turns out it is a very good flavor. It kind of gets, it's like this apple-y, spicy, because, you know, kind of an apple tart kind of thing with this sweet peach tea flavor. It actually is pretty good. I don't know if I just happened to get the right mix there or what's going on. So, anyway, here's the, I'm going to play this. I'm just going to play this from my phone. I don't have it attached to the mixer here, but I just want to play it from into the microphone. Pretty interesting. This is pretty interesting stuff, actually. This, let me go back here to, let's see if we get it. I think this is right at the very end here. So there we go. Okay. Let's just play it from here. This is a guy being interviewed. You can tell by the sadness on their face that they're Democrats, but this is where we're going here.
How badly did Democrats lose to Trump, James?
Some stats to just illustrate how significant this was. This is the biggest shift rightward from one election to the next since Ronald Reagan's victory in 1980. Donald Trump's on track right now to get 312 electoral votes. That's the most of any Republican since 1988. Donald Trump is on track right now to win the popular vote, the first Republican to do so since George W. Bush.
And something he's never done before. Yeah.
Which he did not do either time. And he's going to become the first ex-president since Grover Cleveland won in 1892 to take back the job. So Kamala Harris is going to end up getting more than 10 million fewer votes in 2024 than Joe Biden got in 2020. It's close, but not close.
So the thing about this is that what I find fascinating and interesting about this whole thing is that the Democrats are now coming out and saying, what happened to these 15 million votes? When you look at the bar chart, and I think I talked about this a little bit yesterday. When you look at the bar graph of the last, you know, the previous two elections, 2012, 2016. And then you look at 2020. And now we're back to 2024. It is a very stark difference. There was obviously something wrong. And I've always said this, on its face, just take a step back and take a look at it. You have more people voting than are registered to vote. There's something wrong with this picture. There's not a precinct on the planet where you get 100% of the people who are registered to vote voting. It just doesn't happen. Somebody doesn't show up. In some cases, there was more than 100%, which is why we had more people voting than we had registered voters. And yet we get told by all the experts, nothing to see here, no voter fraud, nothing. It was a perfectly pristine election. Now they're wondering where these 15 million people went. Why did Joe Biden get 15 million more votes? There were 15 million more people voting. And what's interesting is that the Trump vote was up as well, but that's because the algorithms on the machines, the algorithms on the counting, the print, they couldn't just get caught printing. You know, they had to make the ratio had to be decent enough to where they could print enough to get Biden over the top. It had to be more than what was already. It looks if you look at it, it looks like, yeah, Trump probably should have won that. If it would have been a normal election, just based on normal turnout, normal percentages, Trump would have won. Even won the popular vote. But they so overcompensated. Because in many cases, there was one person who did a very good analysis on the 2020 election, the counting machines. Not the actual electronic voting machines, but the machines that count the ballots and the way they were working. For every so many ballots that were counted, you know, that went to Trump, they added so many to the Biden count. And the ratio is almost exactly what we saw there at the end. So it would have been, because they had to have a ratio. They couldn't just print out, you know, 15 million ballots. Because what if 10 million people showed up to vote for Trump and all of a sudden you got 300 million people voting and there's not even 300 million people on the voter rolls. Don't even have a voting age. So they had to be careful with that, and yet I think they almost overplayed their. That's why they didn't really talk about it. This whole thing of Joe Biden 81 million votes, they would have touted that for years, most popular president ever. And yet, when all that stuff goes away, and the whole COVID mess and all the voting boxes go away, and all this other stuff happens, the mules, the harvesting. All of a sudden, Trump wins in a landslide. In all of the states where there's voter ID required, Trump won. In all of the states where voter ID is not required, Kamala won. Democrats won. Isn't that interesting? We can draw some conclusions with that. I don't know for sure. But it certainly seems a little bit suspicious to me. So we'll see. We'll see how this all pans out, how it all works out eventually. But anyway, what just happened? My screen went blank. The next thing I want to talk about a little bit is this whole issue of what is going on with the whole Kamala. You know, the Harris thing. Now, there's going to be some interesting things happen. They're already calling for it. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to play this other video because I think it's quite telling that they are actually going to this in this direction. Let's listen to this guy. This is a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to go ahead and play this just because I think it's kind of interesting. Let's just go ahead and play it. That's not it. Let's play this one. Nope, that's not it either. Where'd it go? Well, that's interesting. Well, I'll go back to this. I hope I didn't erase that. Yeah, it's not there. What in the world happened to that? Is this it right here? This might be it right here. Yeah, let's go with this.
Ability to not go off the rails. But y'all, let me know what you.
This is by Devin Gibson. Let's get it, Pop. Here he goes.
We're now 71 days from Trump taking the oath of office. What is the most important thing that everybody is looking for? That is my question. I'll start with.
Oops, I just. Sorry.
Joe Biden's been a phenomenal president. He's lived up to so many of the promises he's made. There's one promise left that he could fulfill, being a transitional figure. He could resign the.
Sorry, it's just.
Yeah. Joe Biden's been a phenomenal president. He's lived up to so many of the promises he's made. There's one promise left that he could fulfill, being a transitional figure. He could resign the presidency in the next 30 days. make Kamala Harris the president of the United States.
Whoa.
He would absolve
wow.
from being able to, from having to oversee the January 6th transition, right, of her own defeat. And it would make sure that it would dominate the news at a point where Democrats have to learn drama and transparency and doing things that the public want to see is the time. This is the moment for us to change the entire perspective of how Democrats
operate. This has now jumped from an internet meme to a Sunday morning show.
Jamal's out here right now in the season of House of Cards.
I thought you were going to say, what about the Supreme Court? That's also out there.
Well, the Supreme Court might happen. I don't know if it will, but I think this is something that's in Joe Biden's control. And if he
Let's talk about the Supreme Court issue.
Again, it would fulfill his last promise. It would give Kamala Harris the chance to be the 47th president of the United States of America. Uh-huh. It would disrupt all of Donald Trump's paraphernalia. Right? You have to rebrand everything. But she would, and it would make it easier for the next woman who runs for president to not have to worry about all the historical, you know, weight of being the first.
Oh, because top that, Brad.
I have something days. That's a lot more realistic.
Well, I don't really care. The rest of this. There's a couple of things here involved in all this. One of the things it's going to do now, you know, the stock market has already turned around. Several things in the world have turned around because they know Trump is coming in soon. So there's a lot of things happening already, repositioning. People straightening up and flying right in some cases. In other cases, there's the economic situation is that the outlook is all of a sudden, you know, very positive. Now, that's happening. Now, what they could do is put her in. This is the way they play the game. The Democrats will now say, well, when Joe Biden left office, though, you know, the economy, the stock market was up and all this other stuff. Well, yeah, because it was hopeful for. Because the future looked good. It was the Trump effect of having won the election, even without doing anything. Border crossings are going to go down. There's going to be a few desperate people at the very end here is going to try to get in before the end of it. But the border's pretty much shut down already. And as far as the illegal crossings. People aren't taking a chance because they think they're just going to be deported anyway. So those are some of the issues happening. They're going to tout that as a success because the numbers exactly on the day of leaving are better. Now, one of the things they could do if they toss the ball to Kamala and let her be the president for a day, this gives her the credit to this whole thing. So she could potentially run again, or she could, you know, I don't think the Democrat Party is going to allow her to run again. I think she's done as a political person. She might get an office position in the next Democrat administration, if there is one, and go from there. But it could potentially be, and here's their other issue. Their other issue is, okay, Trump is going to be president for 4 years. Very possibly the Republicans could hold the presidency for the next 12 years. If J.D. Vance gets in or someone else gets in, another Republican gets in after Trump on a Trump campaign, because this is, you know, fresh in everybody's mind, you could potentially have another Republican in for 8 years. So 4 and 8, 12 years before they potentially could get another presidential power. And so this is... They're thinking about this now. Sotomayor, or however you pronounce her name, she is, I think she's 70 years old. The other thing that they're tossing around now is that they could potentially have her retire. Now she's made comments about she has no intention of retiring, but they're talking about putting Kamala in as a Supreme Court justice before Biden leaves office. Now, I don't know how this works. I know this is a weird deal because they've got a 50-50 Senate right now with Kamala doing the deciding vote. This would be the biggest rush case there ever has been. And of course, they've always told us you can't do this in the last year of someone's candidacy. You can't have someone appoint this. You need to leave that to the next president. They've always said that. They just, of course, now I think the Republicans did it, I think, six or eight months before the election in 2020. And they put in Amy Coney Barrett, whatever. I think she was the last one. I believe she was the last one that got put in. So then they're going to try to throw Kamala in there. Can't you just imagine hearing her cackling on the Supreme Court. And of course, at the end of the day, they just have a vote. She can't write any. She'll have staff writing her papers. She won't be writing papers. So they would throw her in to the Supreme Court. That way they have, because she's young and she'll be able to be there for another 30 years or so, potentially. And it rewards her for, you know, all the stuff. And it kind of, they do this kind of stuff all the time. Just like Merrick Garland being the AG gave him a chance to seek vengeance on his political enemies because he was ousted in Barack Obama's last term, last year of his presidency. He in his second term, he was going to put Merrick Garland in there on the Supreme Court, and of course, Republicans shut it down, whatever you want to say. So then he was mad. So then they turn around and give him the AG position. Somewhere along the line, these people have some kind of, and also in the background, at the same time, the FBI has dirt on these people, the CIA, all these people, they pass this dirt around on everybody as a method to manipulate them. So they knew he could be controlled, they knew he could be manipulated, and he would play games, he would play ball with them and do their thing. They knew he was somebody they could control. All those things add up to, he's the guy who checks all the boxes. We can put that guy in because we've got this dirt on him. So we can, if he gets out of line, we can lay this stuff out on the table and show it to him. Jim Comey did this on day one of his first meeting with the president in the White House. He laid out the dossier. He said, I just want you to know this kind of stuff's out there. He says this. James Comey says that he did this. This was a shakedown. I mean, when you read James Comey doesn't say it was a shakedown, but when you read his notes and hear here's his side of the story about how that meeting went. This is like somebody coming into your business and saying, I just want you to know we can offer you some protection here. You just need to pay for it. You just need to give us $1,000 a month. We'll give you protection here. Otherwise, I can't guarantee you can be protected. Or someone who says, you know, we have all this information about this. We have these pictures. Be a shame if this got out to the public. Just saying. Of course, Donald Trump didn't care because it never happened. It was all fake and phony. So he was, I don't even think he recognized what was happening to him at the time. Wasn't long after that James Comey got fired. So I'm pretty sure. Now you don't fire somebody if they got dirt on you, because then of course then that dirt all comes out. If it's true, you know, you get all nervous about it. Trump doesn't get nervous about that stuff. He doesn't care. Even if it was true, he wouldn't care. That's kind of part of the point there. The whole issue. Is that he's transactional. He's not idealistic. He doesn't care about that stuff. People know him. He's lived his life in the public eye for how long? We all know his stuff. They still try to make stuff up about him. Oh, he does crack. He does all this stuff. He doesn't even drink. He never has. So it's an interesting way that they play this game. So I think that they're going to attempt to do something. Kamala's not done yet. They're not, of course, they're not done. And I think, I can't remember who it was I was listening to just this morning. Maybe it was last night. Talking about how, make no mistake, they're not just going to lay down. They're not just going to go away. They're going to be as aggressive as ever going forward, moving forward on all this stuff. And I guarantee you, they're going to do everything they can. Now, this, Like I said, they're going to wait for the dust to settle after this election. They know the popularity. Everybody's on a high right now on the Republican side. You know, as they go back to work, as they get into a seasonal thing, like I talked about just yesterday. They will wait for the right time to regroup. I think they were so caught off guard by this. And I think the FBI and everybody, I think after the election, they're like, wait a minute. My understanding is I guess one of the jokes yesterday was over at the FBI, you know, they have so lowered their standards of fitness that they're going to have a hard time running for the door to get out of that place as Trump comes in, because they know there's going to be some heads rolling. Now, there's some interesting things that have happened. One of the things that I'm hearing both from a lot of people, one of them is RFK Jr. He was saying, you know, I want you to all preserve your records. This is, you know, official notice that you need to preserve your records. And he actually sent paperwork. I mean, it's not just, you know, you don't just get to make a speech, but he made it formal that he's asking them to preserve all their records because he's going to go after the FDA and some other things. And the medical, the health and human services, I think is what he's going to be in charge of. This is going to be interesting, and I'd be interested in hearing from some health professionals. I haven't had a chance to really talk to my wife about it, because she's in the health profession industry, and I think it'd be interesting to find out what their thoughts are on some of the things that are being proposed, how this is going to affect, you know, the medical industry and some of the other things. However, how does that work? So because the FBI is not known for their ability to, you know, maintain evidence. They got one job, basically: collect evidence and present it in court. That's basically their job. They fail miserably at it all the time when it comes to evidence that could exonerate someone, so, you know, exculpatory evidence. Exculpatory. I can't. It's one of those. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a physician. I'm not a financial counselor. I just. So I'm all of a sudden I'm Porky Pig. We have the strange issue here of are they held accountable for this stuff? So many times I've heard that they demand records, they demand this, demand all, like a video of this bomber. You guys maybe haven't heard about this. On January 6th, there were bombs or fake bombs or whatever they were placed at the headquarters for the RNC and the DNC. And one of the areas was actually where Kamala, the VP, was actually went to this building, and they found they claim it was potential. They are very careful about the way they say it. It could have potentially been a bomb or whatever. It's like, okay, whatever. It either was or wasn't, okay? They make it. They always make, you know, they have all the earmarks. It has all the earmarks. Has all the hallmarks of a Russian has a Russian bomb. What does that mean? It's all the hallmarks. It's all the hallmarks. They got all the hallmarks are on there. So they're very careful when they craft their responses to some of these things. And of course, the video of this whole thing being placed and everything happening, and of course, it's almost as if the guy who was in the video was almost as if he knew where the camera was, because he never, you know, had a hood on, had sunglasses, the whole thing, was able to get away with this whole thing without anybody seeing who he was. He just walks on the scene, goes over there, does this. Plus, then, of course, all this stuff is very, then there's more video of all this other, and there's also a January 6th video that disappeared, just all of a sudden disappeared. January 6th commission deleted a bunch of stuff. Well, I don't think we needed it anymore. We just deleted it. Oh, good idea. It's like taking 9/11 footage or, you know, all the stuff that they claimed, you know, Pearl Harbor footage, bombings, all the stuff that they claim was so important. The worst attack on our nation's capital since the Civil War. Oh, we just deleted all that. All of a sudden it disappears. And we were transferring the data and it got damaged. It got corrupted. Oh, so like you can take my hard drive after years of deleting things and everything else, and you can go into it and forensically figure it out what was on it, but you can't, you just lost it because of one corrupt file. Yeah, don't give me that. So this happens so often. So now they're asking them to you know, maintain the records. Now, personally, I think heads are going to roll regardless. And there's never seems to be any accountability for that. Oh, well, we lost it. Okay, well, then you're fired. And you lose your, and not only are you fired, but you're going to go to jail. You're going to have a civil suit, at least, you know, against you for destruction of evidence. There's no immunity for this. It's going to be an investigation. You're losing your job, period, because you had one job, and it's you failed at that job, so you're done. Sorry. Be escorted out. No more security privileges. You're done. And yet that's not what happens to them. They can get promoted after they do stuff like that. It's very strange. So we'll see. We shall see what happens here with all this stuff. I know that there's some other thing. I think Trump actually came out and said that he wants records preserved for certain things. And yeah, heads are going to roll. They're going to find out some more things. Even going back as far as the spying on the Trump campaign under the Obama administration, I think some of those things are going to be brought to light as well. Hopefully, he tried to bring them out in the first administration, but there were so many moles, so many snakes in the grass. He really couldn't get done what he needed to get done. Now this time, I was pleased to see that. You know, Nikki Haley, who came out initially strongly against him and thought she was going to win, and was just all over, you know, up one side and down the other. She was just basically running Trump down. Of course, then he got her support. Trump didn't make too big of a deal about that. I don't know if she was ever on the campaign trail. I don't think she was. She might have been for like 1 month or like one or two rallies. Pretty much sit on the sidelines. And Pompeo now also, as far as I understand, he is also out. But Nikki Haley is going to be out. She's not going to be in the administration. She might have some kind of a job of some kind, but she's not going to be in the administration at all. There's a few people that are in the administration now that I'm a little bit concerned about. But there's some other people that I'm very, very happy that he's putting in place. There's Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, is a potential. I guess he's potential Secretary of State. And I think Rubio has kind of come around to what's going on, because we've seen the. I think he has seen the light in terms of how the establishment has played the game. And I one person I'm very disappointed in. Is Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is claiming he's going to support this guy that Mitch McConnell. Now, if you haven't heard about what's going on with this, Mitch McConnell is actually going to have a secret ballot tomorrow. He's planning on having a secret, it's a closed secret ballot for people to vote for some kind of a head position, some leadership positions within the Senate. Rick Scott should be the one that gets it, or at least somebody else besides the guy that Mitch McConnell's trying to put in. Mitch McConnell's trying to put in a guy who is a never-Trumper, dyed-in-the-wool, total establishment Republican guy, and it still has vowed to hate Trump to the end of the age and will not work with Trump. So it's one of those things where this is not, you know, you can't just ignore the mandate right now that Trump has, an overwhelming swing to the right under Trump's. Now, I think a lot of it was opposition to the whole Democrat agenda as well. I don't think people there's a lot of people who voted for Trump who aren't 100% on for Trump. They just were so displeased and disgusted by the left. A lot of people didn't show up. A lot of people were just tired of this rhetoric. They're tired of the on and on and on, the whole thing with the Nazi, fascist stuff, homophobic xenophobic. They're just, they've had it. They've played that card over and over and over. It's like a broken record. People just aren't listening to it anymore. They don't believe it anymore. And they're really starting to wake up to the fact that they've been lied to, not just by the Democrat machine, but also the Republican establishment. I think people are just have had it with all that. At the end of the day, it is the pocketbook. Now, what is your? There are people who haven't had a raise in the last 4 years, and they don't care if inflation is back down to 2%. It's the 22% that's up from the last 2.5 years that they have a problem with. Because inflation is inflation. If your wages aren't going up, then you're still feeling it. We've got to get energy prices down, which I've noticed all of a sudden gas prices have gone down. There's places where it's, I think I paid $2.70 for a gallon of gas. I think Costco was even less. I didn't go over there to get it, but it was $2.70 something, I think it's $2.74 paid for gas yesterday. That's not too bad. I mean, it's been better, and it could be better again. It could be. I think we will probably see gas prices go down below $2 a gallon again. And if that happens, the economy is just going to be rip roaring. One of the other things that Trump is putting in place, and he's going to try to put in place, is this cap on interest rates on credit cards, 10%. He wants to be able to, you know, have people get out of debt. Now he had a sit down with Dave Ramsey. He went on Dave Ramsey's podcast. Kamala did not. I think that was a major factor too. There's a very strong base of people that watch and listen to Ramsey. I think he's a very and it's a solid voter base. Those people vote. They're among the Christians who vote. They understand that their vote matters because they're paying attention to their finances. They're paying attention to the world, the country, the economy, all those things. And I think him sitting down with him, I think I'm sure there was conversation beyond the recorded conversation. Typically there is. And, you know, Dave Ramsey, I'm sure, had some things to say about, you know, how do we get people off this addiction of credit cards, living on credit. People, it amazes me how many people live on credit. Yesterday I was at the gas station and I'm thinking, you know, just I look at people who are my age even out there buying a car. They go to buy a car and they're so happy, they're so blessed that they were able to get financing for this car that they bought. I was able to borrow money for the car. They got the financing through for this car. I'm like, what? What? My understanding is like 60 to 70% of the cars, maybe it's more than that. I think maybe it's 80% of the cars on the road. When you sit at a stoplight, watch all the cars go through the stoplight going the other direction. And I think it's like 80-some percent of those cars are financed. Folks, we are living on borrowed time, borrowed money. We're selling our future here. And when you do that, you have no future because your future is owned by someone else for the next, you know, 6 years or whatever it is, or you're continuing on from there. Every 6 years you buy another car and you need another loan. Well, I took out a home equity loan, so I'm just using the equity in my home to... That doesn't work either. You're scavenging off of your earnings. I don't know. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a financial guy. All I know is, you know, you get yourself out of debt and you live within your means, and life is a whole different story. It's a whole different ballgame, and that starts to happen. And you start to understand what wealth and investments really are, tangible goods that are worth something. You invest in things that you know. I happen to know more about mechanical stuff. I know about, well, it's interesting. And now that I'm older, I'm more interested in investing in other people somebody has a business idea, or if I have a business idea, I'm more interested in finding somebody else that can take that idea and run with it. I'll just let them do all the young, ambitious stuff. Just help them to keep the, you know, keep the wheels rolling, make the investment, be a part of it with them. If it fails, it fails. If it's successful, then we're all successful. But in the meantime, it's I'd rather do that than to do it myself and just try to do those. But I'd rather invest in those kinds of things. Equipment, you buy a backhoe, or you buy a bobcat, or you buy a street sweeping machine. And the next thing you know, it's going to be worth something. It's worth something, and you can make money with it. So it's not, you can use it to make money, and then you turn around and you sell it, and it's sometimes worth more than you paid for it. Take care of it. It all makes much more sense at that point. It's wealth building. It's something tangible. You're not just putting your money in some stock market, investing in somebody else's business. You actually have something. And gold and silver, that's all great. That's all good and good. Whatever. What do you want to do with that? But I'm not a financial counselor. But if things really, really hit the fan and the things are really bad, and you got a whole bag full of gold, you can't eat that. The average Joe out there that you're going to be trading for, trading to buy some bread, to buy, a pig, to buy some bacon, whatever you're going to be buying, with steak or whatever you're going to, hamburger, eggs, whatever you're trying to buy to eat, that person has to have some kind of use for it. Unless they find a way to somehow trade that for something tangible for, I don't know. It seems like if it's really falling apart, the average person out there doesn't use gold and silver. They might use a backhoe. Hey, I'll do some digging for you. I'll do this backhoe work for you. I'll do some work for you with this backhoe if you give me a pig, or you give me a side of beef. That might work. Or I'll do this work, and if you give me 100 gallons of diesel fuel, that gives me enough fuel to do a lot more work. I can trade for a lot more bacon. Just, it's one of those things where and then if I turn around and when the economy goes good and everything's going fine, then the backhoe that I paid for that is in good shape and still a usable tool might be worth more than I paid for it. If it gains 10% in value, then that's 10% more than it's probably 5% more than I would have made in the stock market. I mean, who knows? Anyway, onward and upward. The show's gone kind of long. I just want to talk about some of these things. They're going to be rolling out their plan to defeat Trump here in the next, we're going to see it this week. I think we're still going to see things. By the end of this week, they're going to have their wagons are going to be circled. They're going to have a plan. They're going to be out there. They're still repeating the same rhetoric. Donald Trump's going to be a fascist. He's going to be a dictator, blah, blah, blah. Of course, they're inviting him to the White House now to come in and talk to him, and this, which is really crazy because it's like, okay, so you call this guy a fascist. He's a dictator. Should never stand behind the seal of the president. And hey, come on in. Come on into the White House here. Now, I'm concerned. I get concerned. I would not step in there until I have my own security service detailing everything that's going on there. Here, have some tea, sir. Oh, is that good? No, not that one. This one. This cup right here. Yeah, have that cup. I don't know. I just got to get concerned about these people. He goes to the White House, and the next thing you know, he's got COVID or some rare disease. I don't think they're going to. I'll be amazed and I'll just be surprised and amazed and astounded if January 20th comes around and Donald Trump is actually being sworn in. I just that's how much I dis, trust these people because of all the things they've said about that Donald Trump will do. That these are the kinds of things. When they start projecting like that, that means that's what they're going to do. They're going to get us into a war. Something's going to happen in the next two months, whatever. That they're going to try to do something. I have no doubt. So we'll see how it all works out. But the I'm not at fear of anything. I know that God has a plan. I think that this whole thing with what happened with Trump, you know, losing that election, supposedly not being in office the last 4 years, I think has given us a very clear vision, very well defined vision of choose this day who's going to be in charge here. You know what the vision that we have before us is this or this. I think it's been made it very well defined. The contrast, I think, is going to be very, very clear. And it's not just about Trump being, you know, Trump's not our savior, but he definitely, I believe God has his hand on his life, as he does everybody's, but I think he's definitely moving through him for our country. Folks, Shabbat Shalom. God bless. Have a great rest of your week.